Good morning, everyone. For our prelude this morning, we welcome Natalie Grant here, who's our soloist today. And we're going to do a piece from the Mass for All Creatures. It's a piece I wrote a number of years ago called Glaciers in the Sun. And the poem is by a famous Canadian writer named George Riga from Western Canada. This was one of the last pieces he wrote. And I was asked to set it to music by a group in Thunder Bay in the 1980s. To my mind, it's very poetic language, and it has a very positive environmental message. At least that's how I think of it and read it. So we thought we'd do that as a prelude this morning before we get into our opening hymn. And it also allows me to introduce the fact that we'll be doing the Mass for All Creatures here at St. James once again on the first Saturday of October. So thinking ahead into the fall, that's Saturday, October 4th. And we'll have the band and the choirs and present that beautiful piece one more time. But right now is our prelude, a piece called Glaciers in the Sun.
This I do believe, that the green earth will green forever, and sweet waters flow from distant clouds and jagged lips of glaciers in the sun. No longer do I ask for bread and roses and shelter for the night. No longer do I ask for my own pathway at the rivers of the sun. No longer do I ask for ancestors happier than I, and free of hypertensions of the mind. No longer do I ask for a village well defined, and doorways always open to the world, to the world of sailors, bricklayers, gardeners and teachers, nurses and astronauts who have seen.
Please stand for our opening hymn. Good morning, everyone. Please be seated. Welcome to St. James Westminster on this cooler Sunday than last week. Last week, I was literally a puddle. It's great to be with you today. It's great to be in this place. It's great to lift our voices in praise of God. I don't think I have any major announcements this morning. Am I missing anything? I like the summer. It's a very busy church throughout the rest of the year, but things are going well in the summer. I know, Anne, your children's camp over at Wesley Knox is happening next week, so we're excited and praying for you in that. But with that, let's take a moment and lift up our hearts and recognize that we are in the presence of God. Please stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
And we say together, Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. And let us pray. Almighty God, your Son has opened for us a new and living way into your presence. Give us pure hearts and constant wills to worship you in spirit and in truth. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the proclamation of Holy Scripture.
A reading from the letter of Paul to the Colossians. Christ Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. And you, who were once estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his fleshy body through death, so as to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him, provided that you continue to securely establish and steadfast in the faith without shifting from the hope promised by the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. I, Paul, became a servant of this gospel. I am now rejoicing in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am completing what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church. I became its servant according to God's commission that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery that has been hidden throughout the ages and generations, but has now been revealed to his saints. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is he whom we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone in all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. The word of the Lord.
Your decrees are wonderful. Therefore, I obey them with all my heart.
When the word goes forth, it is light, it is understood.
I open my mouth and pant. I long for your commandments.
Turn me in mercy, as you always do to those who love your name.
Steady my footsteps in your world. Let no iniquity have dominion over me.
Rescue me from those who oppress me, and I will keep your commandments.
Let your countenance shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes.
My eyes shed streams of tears, because people do not keep your law.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
This is the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
As Jesus and his disciples went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." The Gospel of Christ.
Praise
to you, Lord Jesus Christ. May the words of my lips and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. I'd like you to imagine a hypothetical situation with me. Imagine that you got a letter in your mailbox that said Jesus was coming for a visit at 2:15 on Tuesday. Undeniable, you know Jesus is actually coming to your home at 2:15 next Tuesday. Who's cleaning their house? I am reinstituting my canceled Amazon Prime subscription, ordering the best vacuum cleaner I can find, overnighting it, throwing the one that I have into my neighbor's yard so he doesn't see, and I'm cleaning the entire house. It is something that I would absolutely and honestly do. And I think all of us can acknowledge the fact that if an important visitor was coming, we want to put on our best face. We want to show our best selves to the world. And it seems that the gospel reading that we had today says, don't worry about that. Just sit back and listen. In the Christian church, we've told this story for over 2,000 years. We've incorporated this one, just like the Good Samaritan that we heard last week, into our children's lessons. It's an easy story that we get to share with. And the fact of it, the point of it, is to focus on what Jesus is doing in our lives other than the things that distract us is a really good and really important point. But if you take it to its logical conclusion, then everybody's house will look as messy as my house does currently. There is still work that needs to be done. And so I was wrestling with this today. I didn't want to just do a superficial reading of the gospel and say to everyone here, yes, it's important to take time to listen to what Jesus is doing. That's the most important thing you could do. I wanted to offer something more intriguing, more in depth. And the piece that stuck out to me was what Martha asked Jesus for. Martha asked Jesus, "Jesus, can you go over and tell Mary that she's doing it wrong? Can you tell her to do it my way?" And I think that's a thing that we can all understand. So leading a church, you hear countless people's opinion about the right way to do things, where the altar should be located, why people are not sitting in the blue chairs at the front that have been so nicely and comfortably put into a semicircle for people who might not want to sit on these hard wooden pews, why people like to sit at the back of the church next to the fan. You hear opinions about everything. And often it comes with an underlying sense that this is the right way to do things. How many of you know the stories and the parables around St. Francis? St. Francis is a fascinating character. He was called by God and led a life so full of joy that his stories and his technical term, hagiography, which means the study of a saint's life, his stories go about where he goes into villages to convince a man-eating wolf that he shouldn't eat people anymore because Jesus is good. He goes and he preaches to the birds about Jesus' coming and Jesus' good news. I have never understood St. Francis. Not one lick. I even helped found a church that was named after St. Francis, and I still don't get St. Francis. I just could not be bothered to go out into my backyard and say to the Carolina wrens and the goldfinches and the purple finches, I'm looking at Bette because she's a birder and she knows all these ones, and the house sparrows, give them a good long sermon in my backyard. I've got other things to do. But I think the difference about St. Francis is that St. Francis would never say, "God, make Michael do it my way and go and preach to the birds. God, make Michael go into a village and convince a man-eating wolf not to eat him." I think that there's a spiritual maturity that comes into play when we can say, "Here is how I am being called to worship God." That doesn't mean it's the same for everyone. That doesn't mean what works for me will work for everyone. And I think one of the risks of churches is that the person with the funny collar on and the long robe says, "This is how it should be, and we're going to make it happen this way because it works for me," and inflicts their spirituality on the congregation. I think worship at its best is when we are all called to participate in our own ways, in the ways that God has called us to participate. For Mary, sitting and listening to Jesus was the higher part. For some people, it might be cleaning and preparing. But the trick is to not do it in a resentful way that makes and blames other people. True spiritual maturity is recognizing that I'm not you and you're not me, and thank God for our differences. You see, we are all created in the image of God. And if we all looked the same, what a narrow and tiny God that would be. The fact that we are different speaks to the grandness, the vastness, the unintelligibility of trying to take something that we call God and putting it in a box. But you know what? Getting to know Carolyn, getting to know Anne or Tim or Steve, I see things in new ways that I wouldn't see without them. I see God because of the relationships that I have with you, with the community. I think when we open ourselves and let God be God, and let ourselves let go of control, and instead embrace who God made us to be, we find in ourselves a peace and a joy that passes all understanding. In our first reading, we heard that Jesus is the head. And Paul uses the image of the body elsewhere in Scripture. It's a good image because we're not all the same, but we all need each other. And it's through an understanding like that that inspires a selfless love. A selfless love that we carry from our faith to our church community, from our church community out into the world. And we are called to be ambassadors of selfless love. It's not easy, but that's why we have each other. And that's why we have the grace of God, that when we fail, when we fall short, when we reactivate our Amazon Prime account, God gives us another chance. God gives us the opportunity to try and try again. Let us be like Mary, listening to the call that God has placed on our hearts, doing the work that is important and necessary and life-giving for us to do, trusting that God can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Amen. Would the congregation please stand? And now let us confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I'd invite the congregation to adopt a position of prayer for the prayers of the people.
Sing to the Lord a new song.
Sing to the Lord, all the earth.
Christ, our hope of glory, still our clamoring hearts, that we may sit with devotion in your presence. Give your church faith to sing of your majesty. May our action never become a substitute for being at one with you. Sing to the Lord a new song.
Sing to the Lord of all the earth.
Christ, our hope of glory, give to all leaders and rulers space to reflect on your will. Come to them in the quiet and breathing spaces squeezed into busy diaries. Restore a right vision and sense of priorities. Sing to the Lord a new song.
Sing to the Lord, all the earth.
Christ, our hope of glory, in hospitality some have entertained angels and met with you. Open our hearts to share our food with friends and strangers in need. Bless soup kitchens and lunch clubs and everywhere that bread is broken and shared. Sing to the Lord a new song.
Sing to the Lord, all the earth.
Christ, our hope of glory, in our suffering, we share in your passion. Strengthen all who call out to you in distress. Give us such depth of joy that we may rejoice in you. We think today especially of Gavin, Catherine, Sherry, Tom, Scott, Brian, Allie, Mary, Don and Nancy, Dave and Anna, Mary Lou, Bill, Jim and Marge, Rona Lee. Sing to the Lord a new song.
Sing to the Lord, all the earth.
Christ, our hope of glory, you hold before us the promise of salvation. Deliver us at the hour of our death. We pray today for the Reverend Sylvia Brightwell. Bring us to that banquet where saints and angels delight in your eternal presence. Sing to the Lord a new song.
Sing to the Lord, all the earth.
My dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. God welcomes sinners and invites them to this table. Let us confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please stand. After his death and resurrection, our Lord Jesus Christ appeared to his disciples. He said to them, "My peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. Let us share Christ's peace with one another. The peace of the Lord be always with you." Thank you.
O God, accept our praise and thanksgiving. Help us in all we do to offer ourselves as a true and living sacrifice through Jesus Christ the Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. We give you thanks and praise, Almighty God, through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Redeemer. He is your living Word, through whom you have created all things. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he took flesh of the Virgin Mary and shared our human nature. He lived and died as one of us to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. In fulfillment of your will, he stretched out his hands in suffering to bring release to those who place their hope in you. And so he won for you a holy people. He chose to bear our griefs and sorrows and to give up his life on the cross, that he might shatter the chains of evil and death and banish the darkness of sin and despair. By his resurrection, he brings us into the light of your presence. Now, with all creation, we raise our voices to proclaim the glory of your name. And gracious God, accept our praise through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who on the night he was handed over to suffering and death, took bread and gave you thanks, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This is my blood, which is shed for you. When you do this, You do it in memory of me. Remembering therefore his death and resurrection, we offer you this bread and this cup, giving thanks that you have made us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. We ask you to send your Holy Spirit upon the offering of your holy church. Gather into one all who share in these sacred mysteries, filling them with the Holy Spirit and confirming their faith in the truth, that together we may praise you and give you glory through your servant, Jesus Christ. All honor and glory are yours, Father and Son, with the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Church, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, we break this bread to share in the body of Christ. The gifts of God for the people of God.
Hallelujah. His presence, and I knew this was a place where love abounds. Ooh, for this is a temple the God we love abides here. Oh, we are standing in His presence on holy ground. We are standing on holy ground, and I know there are angels all around. Let us praise God now, praise Him anyhow, for we are standing in His presence on holy ground. In His presence, I know there is joy beyond all measure. Feet, sweet peace of mind can still be found. Ooh, for when we have a need, He is still standing on the holy ground. We are standing on the holy ground, and on holy ground. Let us praise, let us praise, praise God now, praise Him anyhow,
Let us stand and continue in prayer. O God, as we are strengthened in these holy mysteries, may our lives be a continual offering, holy and acceptable in your sight, through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and those you love and those you struggle with, now and always. My friends, go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks.